I got the Valve Index and the new Knuckles VR controllers and have been able to put them in their paces. Plus, the Epic Game Store attempts to fix what they created and everyone rejoices. Tonight is July 7th, 2019, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Ake Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And What Up G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
I keep thinking I'm forgetting something. I don't know what, but there's probably something like in the production of this show that I'm missing. I have all 10 on my fingers, though. I did make it through that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a long due, it's been 2 weeks, edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about the gaming industry. In gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network after our 2 weeks off, thank you so much for coming back and remembering we're here. Head on over to our chat room, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. You can join our chat channel and tell me that that the lighting is kind of weird on Twitch. I was having some issues with it. Because if I go back, it keeps wanting to fix itself, and I don't want it to fix itself. So I couldn't figure out how to fix the lighting. So I apologize on that. I could turn everything off, and it gets all really dark, so we don't want that. Or you can, if you're not looking at me and seeing the lighting off a little bit, what you can do is you go to our VogNetwork.com, and that's where we're going to have the podcast episodes. Up there, you can leave comments on the podcast episode there, and I may read them on a future show. Also, you can join our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, and that's where I will be taking calls during the second half of the show. So you can call in and talk about anything that's been going on in the past 2 weeks that you want to talk about in the gaming industry. We did get a comment on last week's episode, or the 2 weeks ago episode, where I talked about Tesla and the games that are on Tesla. In the Tesla cars. And E3VL says, if you want to binge playing Beach Buggy Racing 2 without damaging your tires, just get a car and auto lift. So just lift the car off the ground and you'll be good. So go get the special car jacks that you need for Teslas and just get it up off the ground and play it that way. Or just don't get it. Like, my car doesn't have that game. I have other games, but my car is too old to have that. But coming up next week, I want to talk a little bit about this. The Southern Fried Gaming Expo is next weekend here in Atlanta. It is the same weekend as Atlanta Comic Con, as well as CIM Fest, which I think is Columbus Interactive Media Festival. And that's what a lot of like the actual game industry is going to down in Columbus, Georgia. So it's the same weekend, and so there's a lot of competition this weekend. But if you're going to go to the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, that's awesome. I really appreciate seeing you guys there. I'm going to be there all weekend, and it's an arcade and pinball. It started as arcade and pinball, and everything's on free play there except for a couple tournaments. But they've expanded a lot of tabletop. They do a lot of indie game stuff, PC gaming. They are bringing VR in. They do have some esports fighting tournaments that are even streamed on Twitch. So we're not streaming on Twitch this year. I couldn't get all that fixed up. So I apologize for that. But I will be shooting video, and we'll be able to watch some of it. And we are a sponsor. Which I will actually say that they were nice enough last year. I didn't know this was going to happen. They actually gave us a plaque to the Voice of Geeks Network from the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. Special thanks to the Voice of Geeks Network in recognition of your passion, unconditional commitment, and enduring dedication to the Southern Fried Gaming Expo. This is because we've been a sponsor since just about the beginning. They don't listen to this show, so I will say, I think we started sponsoring in the second year, but they don't know that. They think we've been there since the very beginning, which I think I just attended the first year, and then Fogg started sponsoring them. But it was really neat to be recognized by Southern Fried. And S.J. Order Matt says that they gave me a plaque for putting up with Billy Mitchell. I actually did get that right after that panel. Like, the VIP thing was right after the disastrous Billy Mitchell panel, where it got written up in Variety about how I didn't actually ask anything for 45 minutes and stuff. So I was, like, feeling really down. I was, like, feeling like crap. And then I was there, and then they gave me that. So luckily, they have me doing some panels again. So I'm going to be on three panels, moderating two of them, and on one of them as a panelist, actually. So the first one, these are all on Saturday. So if you're going to be there at 2:30, from 2:30 to 3:30, I'm going to be doing once again with our friends over at The Futurist. They are a marketing company that specializes in AR and VR. So they are, for the fourth year in a row, going to give the latest and greatest on augmented and virtual reality. Learn about the newest hardware, games, tools, and more as they dive into the annual State of the Industry. Highlights include a briefing about the Oculus Quest and Magic Leap, which is the new AR goggles, the lowdown on Beat Saber's growing popularity, and rumors about the HoloLens 2. This year's panel will include the CEO of Futurist, Annie Eaton, the CTO of Futurist, Peter Stollmeyer, and technical account manager of Futurist, Jane Nguyen, and it's moderated by Bobby Blackwolf. And so I get to be there and not ask them any questions for 45 minutes, because that's apparently what I do. Also, what I do, what I've got is right after that at 4 o'clock, from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock, Gaming on the Grid, an introduction to the world of streaming. So I actually wound up taking over this panel in like the last week. So streaming on Twitch has exploded in recent years and allows people to share themselves and their gameplay in the world. Join seasoned streamers as well as representative from the Atlanta community of streamers to find out how you can start, grow, and have fun with Twitch streams, either as a viewer or a performer. Questions and answers welcome. So this one came about very late last minute. They put it on the schedule and didn't know what they were going to do with it. And then I was like, I can find people. And so they basically just put me in charge of it. And I have I talked to some. There's actually a local Atlanta Twitch streaming group. Can't call it Twitch Atlanta, even though that's what all their branding is. But we're not allowed to call them that. They're the Atlanta community of streamers. I pulled some people from there, including their community manager, and they're going to be on stage with me there. And then at 10 o'clock that night, Podcasting After Dark, join us as fellow podcasters discuss all things gaming. So I'm going to be up there along with people from the Slap Save Pinball Podcast, Broken Token, and Straight Down the Middle and Flipping Out, those podcasts. That's going to be going on after dark. I don't know what the audience, if that's actually going to be drinky-drinky or not, but podcasting in the dark, everybody's seeing. Kind of like my room right now, because I turned down the brightness on the camera, which is going to be great. So if you're going to be there, I'm actually going to be there all weekend. I actually got a hotel room for the first time for Southern Fried. Usually I just like drove back and forth, and then I realized at like 2 a.m., on Saturday night last year, I was like, I really don't want to drive back on Sunday. And then I did. So, but I didn't really want to have to do that. So it's also going to be nice to have my room up there so I can, like, take things up and, you know, store them in the hotel room. So I'm going to be there. And, I may be drinking because I won't have to drive. Even though I know the car can drive itself, kind of. But I don't like doing that. As Sherwinner Matt says, Bobby wants to drink. I do like drinking, just not on this show, because it also violates Twitch Terms of Service, which is also the Twitch Terms of Service is also why I do not stream Super Mario Maker 2, because I am sure that there are some community guidelines about offensive content, and my playing of Super Mario Maker 2 is quite offensive, just watching it. Like, we're not talking about what I say while I play it, just my playing itself. But Super Mario Maker 2 came out. I'm not going to really give impressions on it. It's cool. I am enjoying it. I do have to call Luigi way too often in the story mode. Luigi Time comes in and saves me on some 2-star levels, which shouldn't happen. But I beat a 4-star level without Luigi's help, so I don't know what's going on there. But Super Mario Maker 2 is out, and I have been making some levels. One level people have played, and the other people haven't. But I do want to kind of mention these, and I will put these on VogNetwork.com in the show notes of the episode if you want to put them in yourself. But I have two levels. I don't have B-roll of them for the Twitch viewers, but I think you may see one of them on OLR tonight. I did spy and saw a Rob Roberts playing my levels. So, maybe. So you can try my two levels that I've got so far. I've got Flappin' Mario, which is not an homage to anything. It's not inspired by anything at all. But it's an auto-scroller that happens underground with some pipes. R0TV21R5G is the level code for that one. And then actually from there you can go to my creator profile and see the other one. But I also have another one that's actually kind of like a normal level called Relaxing Long Jumps, because I found like the relaxing music that you could play during the level, and then I found like the floaty level that has like really like low gravity. So it's just some long jumps in there. It is 1WDJ94GLG. Once again, I will put those on the podcast show notes. If you're in Twitch, SJ1R Matt copied them in there because I had them in a tweet earlier. So Tarklaw says, hopefully it's not one of those super difficult levels that require actual skills to beat. No, because you have to beat your own level to upload it. And so they needed to be levels I could beat. They needed to be Bobby Blackwolf difficulty. But people have complained that Flappin' Mario is too hard and that it's unfair. So it is what it is. I didn't make a hard level. I don't think the other one's hard, just not many people have played it. For some reason, like, if you make a level, you need to, like, have your friends play it or somebody find it and play it, or it's not going to go into rotation because it sat at, like, zero views forever. As I didn't post about the second level, the Flappin' Long Jumps or the Relaxing Long Jumps on Twitter, so nobody played it. But Flappin' Mario people played because I posted it up on Twitter. And so it's got like almost 1,000 plays and, you know, 50 comments. Some of them are saying you're a terrible level designer. Questbuster says, speaking of Mario Maker levels, someone rage deleted their level after TriHex found a way to easily beat it recently. Uh-oh. SJ1R Matt says, if Bobby can't beat it, then it's a bad level. There's some good levels that I can't beat because, you know, they all have their gimmicks. ActDev says, I decide between that or Samurai Showdown. I chose the latter and I don't regret it. Well, you're missing out on my levels. Darklaw says, it's all about trial and error. And sometimes it's trial and trial and trial and trial and the definition is of insanity is trying the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So I actually don't do that. Like, if I can't beat it in, like, 5 or 6 tries or get farther in 5 or 6 tries, I've got better things to do with my time. So I move on. So speaking of moving on, we're going to move on from Super Mario Maker 2. We could talk more about it later if somebody else calls in. But there is a news story that I did want to bring up because we've talked about this in for a while. And we talked about it on the big E3 show, but about crowdfunding projects then going exclusive and backers not liking it. And PC Gamer reports that the original Shenmue 3 Kickstarter campaign stated that the game would be released on Steam, a plan that went out the window last month when Deep Silver and ESNet announced that it would be an Epic Games Store exclusive for 1 year. Upsetting unhappy backers even more was an apparent reluctance to offer refunds. ESNet and Epic said they would assess the situation, but didn't commit to giving unhappy backers their money back until the day that this article was posted. Shortly after the refund announcement was made, Epic CEO Tim Sweeney took to Twitter and said that this kind of situation won't happen again, not because Epic is not going to continue pursuing exclusives, because it is, but because they are going to cover any existing commitments to other storefronts or guarantee refunds in lieu of that. He wrote, quote, when future games go Epic exclusive after offering crowdfunding refunds on rewards on other PC stores will either coordinate with colleagues at the other stores to ensure key availability in advance or guarantee refunds at announcement time. Unquote. And he also confirmed that Epic is covering the cost of Shenmue 3 refunds, quote, so that refunds won't reduce ESNet's development funding, unquote. Epic will not be providing Steam keys in this instance, however, so aggravated backers will have to take the refund, switch to the PS4 version, or live with the Epic Store. ESNet also clarified in a Kickstarter update that the physical release of the PC version will not be the DRM-free version that they had originally talked about, and it, in fact, will not have the game on it at all. No. The physical version, the disc, is going to have the Epic Game Store installer on it, so you don't have to download it, which you're still going to have to download it because the installer is, like, really small, and then it downloads the latest version, and then it gives you a key to refund on the Epic Game Store. So you still have to download the whole game using your slow internet if you're in rural areas, or your bandwidth cap if you're in a place that has those. If you wanted the DRM-free version, that one's gone too, because they had originally talked about that. And that's the type of thing you'd find on, like, GOG. But this is not really new for them, because there was another crowdfunding game that went Epic Game Store exclusive early on when they were first doing the exclusives, and they actually stated that the money that Epic gave them actually exceeded the amount that they would have to refund. Like, they actually still would have come out ahead if every single Kickstarter backer of their Kickstarter refunded their money. They still would have come out ahead, and they still would have gotten more money because of what Epic Game Store was telling them. So this, I'm not surprised about this, because Epic is throwing enough money at this. They have enough Fortnite money that they can, you know, use as burn lotion, as Questbuster says in our chat room. Then they made it look like, oh, well, the gamers are trying to deprive ESNet of money. Like, that was kind of the sly thing he did here. He's like, yeah, Epic's going to cover the refunds because gamers are trying to destroy ESNet for going with Epic Game Store. We're just making sure that the gamers don't destroy the game by demanding refunds. And Valve has a policy of not offering keys to games that are not available for sale on their storefront, which I think is perfectly reasonable policy for them to have. Why should they spend the money on infrastructure and server space and bandwidth and all that stuff when they're not going to make any money off the game? They're not going to make a single cent off of the game codes that would be provided. Usually they do that because the game codes all help for marketing for people to buy the game on Steam, but they're not going to offer it if that option is not there. So, I mean, Valve's obviously not going to put the game on their servers for $0. Like, Valve's not in the charity business like that. So Epic's blaming Valve and the gamers for having to, but they're coming up and they're stepping up and saying, we're going to step up and we're going to pay for everything, and it's going to be great. And everybody's like, oh, thank you. Thank you, Tim, for everything that you've done so we can get our refunds. My opinion is they made the problem and then fixed it, or tried to fix it. It's a terrible situation people are in, and Epic is like, we're the good guys. We're fixing it, and we're going to give you a refund, and everything's going to be fine. And stuff when Epic created the problem in the first place. Questbuster says Valve's stance is very reasonable. They still still supported Metro Exodus by honoring all pre-sales made on Steam before it was pulled. And see, that's a different situation because they got money. Like, Steam got their cut of those. So they were, you know, they had already gotten the money. And so I can see that. This is not a pre-sale situation. Shenmue 3 will eventually be on Steam a year after it launches. But Valve is not going to make a dime or a penny or anything from the game for a year. So why are they going to store it on their servers and serve it up to people for a year? So I don't blame Valve for this. And I don't blame gamers for this, because if you're said, you're going to get this and it's going to be like this, and then they change the terms after you've already paid, yeah, you should get a refund. And especially if you were going to get that DRM-only version, or the DRM-free version, not the DRM-only, that's everything else. The DRM-free version on a physical disc, so you could have the DVD or Blu-ray or whatever and put it in and install it and all that stuff, they're taking that away too. Like, that's something people aren't really talking about. They're like, oh, it was pulled from Steam. Yeah, but the DRM-free version, which people had opted for, is also gone. They changed it to, it's a physical copy of the game, which means you get a box and a DVD that has the Epic Game Store installer and a game code. Okay, install this and download it. That's not a physical version. At least the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, at least the game code is on the disc, and they install it from the disc, and then you only have to get patches from the internet. They don't just put an empty disc, and then you have to download everything, unless it's an Xbox 360 game. Then that's exactly how it works, but it's a different thing there. So now, the story that everybody's been waiting for about Valve. There was a new VR headset here coming out. And I was one of the people that got in right at the very beginning. It's the Valve Index is the name of the new headset. It is not exactly the successor to the HTC Vive, because HTC has their successor to the Vive. I think it's called Cosmos, I want to say. But this is Valve taking the Steam VR technology in-house, and they brought it in with the Valve Index, which is this guy that I've got right here. And it works a lot like the original Vive. So the difference between the Vive and the Oculus Rift is that the Vive uses freestanding base stations that are plugged in. You put them in corners of your room. And you plug them in, and then they talk. They actually emit things that are read by the sensors on the headset and on the controllers. That's how they work. So you don't need to connect them directly to the computer. You just have them on, and they're just there. This is the same way the Wii Sensor Bar actually works. So the Wii Sensor Bar actually is not a sensor. It fires out infrared. That the remote actually has the sensor. The Wii remote actually has the sensor and reads it. So it is also kind of a dumb terminal, if you will, that's just firing things out. So this works the same way as that. The Rift, the new Oculus Rift, which is right there for the Twitch viewers, very dark in the back there. It actually has the sensors inside the headset, and it looks out. The original Oculus Rift that had like these little bait things you put on the table, those actually had to plug in the computer, and they read infrared coming out of the Rift. So that's kind of how all these work. So this is the old base station Lighthouse model, just now upgraded to 2.0. It's got the base stations have a wider field of view, and you can also get four of them. So now instead of just having two, if you want to get two more, you can actually have them in all four corners of your room, and you can actually get a bigger play field than just the 15 meters by 15 meters, or like 7 or 8 feet by 8 feet. And I've always liked that tracking system. Now, I do like the new Oculus Rift S tracking system. I do really like it. So like my Oculus Rift, my original one's going to go away. I'm probably going to sell it to somebody. Because it's still perfectly serviceable if you want to deal with those with the table sensors. But I like the Oculus Rift S because it tracks from inside. So I really do like that. So it's going to stay in my rotation. It's not going to be as hard to set up as the old one is. The Valve Index is going to be my main VR device. And I actually will not be able to use the HTC Vive anymore because now that I've upgraded the sensors, I actually can't use the old HTC Vive. So this is the new headset that I've got right here. And there are a couple of neat things that it does that other headsets don't do right now. So one of the things that's going to be real nice if you're demoing or playing for long times is that inside the eye relief area, there's usually a piece of foam. Well, in the Valve Index, it's actually just magnetically hooked in, so you can actually just take the foam out of the headset real easily, clean it, and then just snap it right back in, and it just magnets in. It's magnets. I don't know how they work. Don't ask any scientists. I don't want to hear from any scientists, but it's magnets. That's how they work. The other thing that it does is in the front, there is also a magnet front to it, which can come right off, which has my googly eyes on it. But since they don't actually need all these sensors in the front, they actually have something in here that actually has a USB port. So you could actually put other things in here. So, like, if you wanted to put – they don't know what people are going to do with it. Some people would just put, like, LED light shows or something in it. But you can just snap the front little plastic cover off and then put it in there, and then just this the plastic cover snaps back on. It's magnets. I don't know how they work. Science and stuff. So the other thing that it has physically – is something that the Oculus Rift doesn't have. It has two different things physically that the Oculus Rift, the FS, doesn't have. On the bottom, there is a slider, and it's your IPD, your interpupillary distance slider. So it's a hardware slider because everybody, the distance between your eyes, everybody's is different. The standard average, I believe, is 64 millimeters between one pupil and the other pupil. Mine's 62, so I'm lucky. But a lot, some people have a lot different sizes. So this allows you to actually use hardware, and it physically moves the lenses on the inside. The Oculus Rift S went with a software solution, so you can't move the lenses. They just rotate and move the image for your IPD. The other thing it does that none of the other ones that I have do is there's a knob here on the side, and what this is actually the controlling the depth of the actual lenses. So you could actually move them farther away from your face if you have glasses, or if you're not wearing glasses, you turn this towards you, and you can bring the lenses as close to your eye as you want. So that's really nice for people with IPD issues, because then if you get them closer, you can actually get a wider IPD, and you can actually see more, and you don't actually get kind of the goggles effect where you can actually see, like, looks like going through snow goggles. So those are those are the really nice hardware features that the Oculus Rift S doesn't have. None of the other, like the HTC Vive, didn't have it or anything like that. The other thing, before I get into like the actual visuals, because it looks really nice, I don't have a good enough computer to push like 120 hertz. But the resolution is really nice. But the thing I really want to talk about are the headphones. So they've got headphones on here. Whereas the Oculus Rift S has the same thing that the HoloLens has, where they have speakers kind of along the top and they kind of fire down into your ears. But you don't want to play like Beat Saber or Audica or anything, because it doesn't sound good. So they actually have a headphone jack, a 3.5 millimeter headphone jack. So you can plug in earbuds, or I plug in these headphones that I wear, these Sennheisers that I wear for the podcast. I plug them in. And then it works fine, and then but you have to like put them on over the headset, and then when you want to take the headset off, you got to remember to take the headphones off first, then the headset. So I like having them integrated, but I was really worried about these because these are not headphones; these are over the ear, so they don't actually touch your ear. There's about it's not much, but they do not touch your ear. So they kind of sit a little bit out of your ear, not too much. And I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be bad, because the Oculus Rift S speaker is also just outside of your ear. And I did not like how that worked. So I then put it in and finally got it working. And then I put in Audica, which is what I play before Beat Saber, because I actually like Audica more than Beat Saber. I know everybody's like, why? Isn't Beat Saber the best thing? It is. It's the second best thing to Audica. And I was blown away. Like, these little speakers or whatever are actually better than these Sennheisers. They actually produce a better sound than these Sennheisers that I'm wearing, which I think these were like $100 when I got them like 20 years ago, which is probably why they sound better. I don't know. But I really liked how they sounded, and they weren't touching my ears, because I know a lot of people. I work from home, so we all have we have to do video calls, so we have headsets and stuff. And people are like, yeah, I can't wear headsets all day because I'd get ear infections, which I completely understand. I get them too. I had swimmer's ear as a kid, and you know, I have ear problems from infections and stuff all throughout my life. And so having a headset that's like that, that doesn't actually touch your ear but gives you that supreme sound quality, would be fantastic. There is a little bit of bleed through, obviously, because it's not being directed into your ear. So other people can hear what's going on in your headset. But you can also hear ambient noises. So my wife could come up next to me and say something, and I'd be able to hear it because my ears aren't covered. So I was very, very impressed with the headphones or the speakers or whatever you want to call them on the Valve Index. It is something that's really hard to describe because we're so used to headphones that touch our ear or earbuds that go in our ear. So it's real hard to describe those. But they sound great. So that's one of the real stars of this. And the other real star is the controller. So the old Vive, they had the Vive Wands, which was you held it in your hand. It has a little bit of a disc on the top, but it's like it's a wand. And you hold it, and it's got a trigger, and it's got a big disc pad, which is reminiscent of the Steam controller. If you have a Steam controller, it's like the left and right pads on the Steam controller. So it's like a mouse. But it also you could also push it on any direction, and that act as his buttons. It had a menu button at the top, the Steam button kind of at the bottom, and then it had a grip button, which is on the side. So either your palm or your second and third fingers would touch it, and that would be your grip button. That's what you squeezed. And then it had a wrist strap, just like the Wii Remote wrist straps that you would put on. That way you wouldn't throw it and hit your TV and stuff like that. So that's what we came from, and that's what all the games that use Steam VR were created for, was for this, or it's really a one-to-one mapping to the Oculus Touch controllers, but it's kind of the same way. We are now using what's called the Knuckles controllers. So the Knuckles controllers actually look a lot different. And in fact, it actually makes it hard to play the old games because they're not made for these in mind. But what you do with why they're called the Knuckles controllers is because they actually have a strap that goes around, and they basically go over your knuckles. And then you can tighten it with a little – there's a little button and a string here at the bottom, so you can tighten it. But then you don't actually have to hold the controller. So – and everybody thinks it's shaped like Knuckles from Sonic and Knuckles. No, it's because it actually goes over the knuckles of your hand. It's a more literal thing. So you have the two controllers that have different buttons, so they're like the Oculus Touch. The Vive controllers, the original ones, they were hand agnostic. So you could do everything with one. It didn't matter what hand they were in. But this one, you actually know what they're in. And so they have on the front, instead of having that big touchpad, it has a little touchpad that goes up and down, but then they've got A and B on the one hand, and then they've got X and Y on the other hand, and they've got analog thumbsticks, which is more like the Oculus Touch. Then they have the trigger on the bottom, which is what your pointer finger goes on. And then it's got this area, this capacitive area on the bottom, where your second, third, and finger fourth, your pinky and your third and your middle finger all rest on. And what's neat about this is that it knows when your finger and what finger has left the controller. So if you wanted to, let's say, make a gesture to JobBot in Job Simulator, you couldn't do it before, not even with an Oculus Touch controller. But with this, it knows when your ring and your pinky finger are on are resting on this area, and your middle finger is not. And so you can totally do that. And then if you squeeze it a lot more, like if you actually grasp it, that is the analog to pushing the grip button, pushing it down the physical button that was on the old controllers. So also the controller is shaped in kind of a different way. So it's kind of hard to play some of the older games because they're at different angles when you hold them at rest. And so they've got to deal with that. And then also, you know, having to always squeezing or holding the controller, sometimes some games will think that you're actually trying to grip something, which makes it hard to do some things. So you do actually have to play a lot where you're just, like, your hand's not touching the controller. I noticed this in Autica, that they actually do this, because if you are not holding the grip area with your three fingers, the guns actually go away. So, like, I'll be, like, standing there, holding with, you know, my palm open and stuff, and I actually have to close my hand for the guns to come back. The Breakman says, the new controllers look like old sci-fi lasers. Yes, and they act really well as those sci-fi lasers. I like these. I do like these. These really allow you to go in and grab something, and it's an actual motion. You're not worried about something on your wrist. It's attached to your hand, so you can actually, you know, run everything around. My wife thought that so on top of your knuckles, you've got the little thing, the strap that's on there, and then there's another bar on it, and my wife's like, oh, I'm so glad it's got a guard so I don't hit my hand. And I'm like, those are actually like the sensor emitters. That's what has everything that all the base stations are reading. So you don't want to hit this that's guarding your knuckles. You really don't want to hit it against a wall, so be careful. But I do like these. The problem is, right now, it's really hard to play a lot of legacy games for them, because a lot of games, they need to be updated to use these controllers. And so if the developer has already given up, then you can't actually play this. And the problem is, the new base stations don't work with the old controllers. If I had a Vive Pro, which was kind of the middle ground, those controllers work with these new base stations. But these controllers that I got, because I bought the HTC Vive on launch day, they actually do not work with the new base station. So I'd have to downgrade back to the old base stations, which could work with – I think it works with this headset. I'm not sure. But I actually can't play a whole bunch of those games right now until they get updated with the Valve Index. Now, I think there is like a move to be able to do emulation, kind of like what they do with the Steam controller, where you can bind certain things and it kind of fixes some of the offset. But it's really best when the developer goes in and does things, because I tried to load up Desert Bus VR and I couldn't play it with these. It was one of the free games I had, but I could have played it with the old Vive controllers. So now it's waiting for the developers to update their games. I know Alchemy Labs updated Job Simulator in a beta branch to work with these, so that was actually kind of fun to play. But they haven't updated their other games yet. So now I'm kind of in a holding pattern, waiting for games that support these before really going in and actually doing it right. I tried to do Google Earth, and to fly in Google Earth, you would basically press up on the touchpad, which becomes pushing up on the thumbstick. But if you don't push exactly up, it thinks it's on the side, and so then it has you going backwards. So it was kind of weird to use it with that. ActDev says, wow, VR controller tech has grown quite a lot in the last few years. That it has. They're doing more and more. I mean, we're almost to the point where you put the gloves on. Like, there are people that are actually working on gloves. So they're actual gloves, haptic gloves even, that you put on your hand, and then you can actually just use your fingers as normal. So that's the Valve Index. I am looking forward to playing around with it more. One other thing that's nice about it is that when you plug it in, so there's only one thing in my computer, and then so it's like on the computer side, there is an HDMI cable, or it's actually a DisplayPort cable, and a USB cable and a power cable. Those are actually attached to this one breakaway cable. And then the Index actually plugs into this breakaway cable. Now, in the old days, as in like 2 weeks ago, I actually had this little breakout box. So this is kind of like the PlayStation Vive breakout box. And there's stuff on it because I had to masking tape it to the table, which you can even still, people on Twitch can still see some of the masking tape. But that way it couldn't get yanked down. But there were actually three cables coming out of the Vive, an HDMI, USB, and the power. And then on the other side was the ones that went to my computer. So they've eliminated the breakout box, and now it's just this breakout cable that's actually pretty sturdy. It does take a little bit of force to break it apart. So I don't have to masking tape things to tables anymore, which is kind of nice. Breakman says, I can't wait for a completely wireless future. I am right there with you. And apparently this would work with the wireless kit, but I don't have an extra PCI slot. So we are going to take a music break and a short commercial break as well for the people on the live feed. Not on the podcast. Don't worry. You don't have to hear this. But if someone wants to talk on the show, head on over to our Discord. Get in the green room. Look at the bottom here on the Twitch channel to see how to get in to how to be on the show tonight. So we're going to take this quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
It's me, Mario. Not really. Obi-Wan Jabroni instead. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com. Sorry for the terrible impression, by the way, Charles Martinet. I tried.
Well, I mean, if Nintendo's just going to outsource Mario levels to people, then we'll just outsource Mario's voice. Why not? Thank you, Obi-Wan Jabroni, for being the original Mario Maker by making your own Mario voice. If you want to leave a bumper, you do not have to be the voice of Mario. All you have to do is send me an MP3 with just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com, or you can talk to me on Discord and maybe we'll do a video bumper, or if I'll see you next weekend at Southern Fried Gaming Expo, maybe we'll record a video bumper. I'll have my video equipment with me. Like I said, not going to stream from there, but I'll definitely like shoot some video and do some stuff and show what it's a little bit like, because they've got a whole other that they're actually getting like a much larger area now, which is where all the pinball games are going to be and arcade games. So they've really expanded, which is why they had to move to this weekend, even though it overlaps like Atlanta Comic Con and some other things. So I don't think anybody is in the green room right now. So if you wanted to be on the show, we're running a little long, as I usually tend to do, apparently, when I talk about VR. So you join our Discord, vognetwork.com/Discord, and then we've got a green room voice chat channel. And then that's where I would actually pull you in to another chat room, a voice chat room, and then we'd talk and stuff. And the green room just allows me to see who wants to call in. We used to do this over Skype, and then Skype stopped working for people. And it works for other people who now can't use Discord, so I'm really sorry about that. But that's not going to be happening tonight. So coming up next, they were here last week, is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them to see what's going on and see what they're feeling. Sacramento, you guys there?
I hope so. Hi, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yes, you're coming in loud and clear. This is great.
Good.
So it's been What's 2 weeks. What's up? I missed you guys.
We missed you too. How
What'd
was
you throw?
How was Weird Al?
Weird Al was great. It was a lot of fun. The weather cooperated. I am looking forward, to be perfectly honest, I am looking forward to like the eventual Blu-ray or CD release, because unfortunately that where it was here was not very good for orchestral acoustics, and I really couldn't hear the orchestration. I could hear his band, but I didn't really hear them behind him. So I'm waiting for the inevitable Blu-ray or DVD or CD release or whatever, so I can actually hear some of these orchestrations.
Guess what, Bobby?
What?
I'm going to see Weird Al next month.
Nice. It's a good show.
They're it's the same tour.
Yeah.
And it's going to be not at the Crest like last year's, but going to be actually at the Civic Center.
Cool. Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
Yes, and Carly Rae Jepsen, who I saw the night before, is probably making her way to the Atlanta area.
Oh. But
I was absolutely thrilled, though, when I was in San Francisco to see ads up for Weird Al.
Oh, yeah.
Like on those big banners they have on the light poles. But, I mean, it's just thinking about it, how, like, when I was a kid watching early MTV, being a Weird Al fan, listening to Dr. Demento, and like, oh, you listen to that Weird Al guy, and now he's, like, outlived most of the acts that he's parodied.
Yes. No, and
that is how you do it.
Yeah. And it's like apparently everybody I knew was at the concert and they all saw me. I didn't see them. But yeah, no, nobody's shy about going to it anymore, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, and I mean, Weird Al's like embedded in pop culture now. Like, you know, very minor spoiler alert for Stranger Things 3, but one of his songs is in it.
Is it Dare to Be Stupid?
It's no, I'll just say one of his songs is in it. And and the reason why I'm okay saying it without, because it's not integral to the plot. It's just very obviously there, and it's like, oh, cool, like Weird Al. You know, when you think about the '80s, that's one of the things you think about.
Yeah, apparently, his shirt's worn too. So apparently, his shirt's worn too, or something, because he posted that.
Oh, I believe that's right. I may not have gotten to that episode yet, but yeah, I'm sure. It would make sense that a couple of the kids would be Weird Al fans, absolutely.
I'm debating if I want to watch that first or Jessica Jones, because you know I love my Jessica Jones.
I got through like two episodes of Stranger Things, but then I had to LARP, so I didn't get through the
whole
thing.
I'm like six episodes in. I'm hopefully going to finish it tonight.
I bet it's so good. I can't wait.
I think I'm going to start with Jessica Jones, though.
Yeah, why not? You love Jessica Jones. The nice thing about these shows on demand in this day and age, they're always there waiting for you.
I did predict this plot of the show like within 30 minutes of the first
episode.
I'm not going to say anything. Okay. I'm just saying that I predicted it because it was obvious.
There's a gamer guy right there. I called it. Yep. Called it.
Now, speaking of games, if you want to play some of the arcade games that were actually on set in season 2 in the arcade, some of those cabinets will be at Southern Fried Gaming Expo, and they will actually have a placard stating this one was in Stranger Things.
And for the record, I have to address Breakman. Keep in mind, I've been reading Jessica Jones in the comics since the character was conceived as a retcon Spider-Man character. Mm-hmm. So don't give me that crap.
Shut it down.
I almost said another word, but I'm remembering it's Bobby's show.
The family-friendly Bobby Blackwell show.
Don't pull it wrong.
As far as the... I'll behave. As far as the cabinets go, though, I think that's really cool. Like, I really wish I could justify two trips to Atlanta within 6 weeks of each other. Like, you know, doing your wedding, that was a little easier because it's about 6 months apart from Dragon Con. That was a little easier, but the 6 weeks is not so good. But boy, oh boy, I mean, we can't say everything about Dragon Con yet, but all I'm going to say is this year is going to be a whopper. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, too. I'm looking at my calendar. And I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah. It's VOG Network is going to be probably more involved than ever before. And we have quite a few people from shows past and present that are going to be there. It's exciting.
And we're going to have the suite, and we're going to have the Valve Index in the suite so people can try it there. We're never sleeping, apparently.
Yeah, I guess not. But that's fine because we have one extra person to sleep anyway, so that's going to be a thing.
Yep. It will make it work out. So you've played a little bit of Super Mario Maker 2. You're going to be talking about it tonight?
I am. In fact, thanks for the spoiler, Bobby. It's our midpoint break tonight. So we're going to play some listener levels. And I didn't even think of the fact that you get the alerts when people play your levels and leave comments. So I guess you know what one of them is going
to
be.
I do. That's why I didn't play them on mine. I'm going to send them all over to you. And so the people that listen to my show now know something that other people don't.
But you do get to see my genuine first reaction to the level. So I played two levels. I played one from another listener, and I went into that level blind. And it's pretty – there's a part – I'm not going to spoil it. There's definitely a part where like I do like a clutch save type of thing. So it's pretty cool. You should see that.
Nice.
And I do some real bonehead stuff too. And then when I do your level, I kind of – like I knew what it was, but I wasn't ready for what it was.
Yeah.
So you'll kind of get to see that moment.
Nice. I am looking forward to it. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Well, it's a little lighter in the news territory just because of the 4th of July holiday as well as Canada Day in this past week kind of monopolizing a lot of what's going on in North America. But a few things going on in the news world, including the Epic Games thing that you talked about tonight. We'll give our take on that as well. We'll talk about Nintendo making a comment on cloud gaming technology because a lot of people wondering if they're going to lag behind by years and years. But based on what the president of Nintendo recently said, that may not necessarily be the case. And could Twitch subscribers only streams, could those actually be like a violation of the agreements with the games and their use policy of streaming online? We'll see. We'll get into that.
It's probably something I'll have to talk about on my panel next week.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's something that might come up at Dragon Con as well. Yeah. But here at VOG Network, I don't think we have any plans for subscriber only streams. I think the goal is you don't get more subscribers from locking everything away. So I don't think that's in our future.
No,
never say never.
Yeah. The only thing that I would even consider, which we're not eligible right now, we haven't streamed for 90 days as an affiliate yet.
Oh.
But the only thing I could think of is doing like a Jackbox game stream that's subscriber or V, and but also you can log into VIPs and mods, and that way it makes it a little bit harder for the trolls to come in and join your game.
Oh, I gotcha.
That's the only reason. But even then, I'm like, I don't think I'd do it.
I could also see maybe like if we were to do something like at Dragon Con, just walking around the show floor. But I don't know. I kind of want to open that up to everybody. So we'll see. We'll see.
Orange Lounge Radio is not subscriber only. It's for everybody, and it's up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you. Free for 17 years plus. That's right.
And 17 more. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night right after Southern Fried Gaming Expo. I'll get home and, you know, have a couple hours to, you know, dump the videos off my camera and probably just show the B-roll like while I talk over it. That's going to be next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, here at Twitch.tv/VogNetwork, so catch us live and interact with the show directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for using the show. Just email me an MP3 or a link to a video to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf is where I am. So if you want to see pictures from Southern Fried Gaming Expo, go to my Twitter. That's where they'll be. You can also submit feedback on the episode pages @VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of our supporters and some of the viewers. So I first want to call out some people who subscribed tonight. So thank you so much to SSJ100 Matt. He has subscribed now for 6 months in a row. Yes, we've been doing this with subscriptions and everything for 6 months, as well as Rob Roberts. He upped his subscription for 6 months with Yay, is what he said. And then also, I want to thank the people who put us in their host list. So either if you auto-host or manually host, I just pulled this list right now. So thank you to the people who are hosting right now. Only Sonic, XLink777, PodCulture, Collision28, Fifth Dream Today, Spyro557, Jonathan, Tiger Claw, Act Deft, Rob Roberts, Anime Jam Session, SJ100 Matt, Black Mama 1977, Johnny Wu Fi, Misty OLR, Veronica Isabel, Dark Tatsuya, Travis Donovan, Critical Myth, Questbuster, AJ Twist, Loki OLR, and Pixel Pacas. Thank you so much for supporting us and getting the word out on your local Twitch channel, even if you don't stream. It's good. I will see you. I'm going to be playing some pinball. Thank you for the 5 bits, Metal Mayhem, right there at the end. I'm going to play some pinball next week. I'll see you guys then. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.